This dictation is taken from actual dictation, and therefore names and sometimes other information has been blanked out. Where the blanks occur, just type a blank. Ready?
Date of surgery, date of dictation is 10/28/93. Preoperative diagnosis is number one, dysfunctional uterine bleeding. Number two, cervical dysplasia. Number three, symptomatic genital prolapse. Postoperative diagnosis is the same procedure performed as transvaginal hysterectomy. Surgeon was Augerman, assistant Kofelt, C-O-L-F-E-L-T. EBL is 800 cc's. Anesthesia was general via endotracheal intubation. Dr. Silva, M.D. Fluids were 4,400 cc's of crystalloid. The findings, examination under anesthesia revealed the uterus to be approximately 8 weeks in size with no discrete masses. There were no adnexal masses palpable. Upon removal of the uterus, it was noted to be diffusely enlarged, approximately 8 weeks in size. The ovaries and tubes appeared normal and were left in situ. Complications secondary to the estimated blood loss of 800 cc's with the hysterectomy, the anterior colporphy was deferred in light of the patient's starting hematocrit of approximately 29. Counts were correct times three. The patient was taken in a stable condition to recover. In procedure in detail, the patient was taken to the operating room where she was placed in this supine position. She had induction of general anesthesia via endotracheal intubation. There was two reports of her AM CBC on the chart. One was 30.6, the other was 41.6. Secondary to this discrepancy, a second CBC was sent, however, the results were not back by the time the case was initiated. Shortly after the patient had been intubated, the hematocrit came back at 28.6. It was elected to proceed with the procedure after discussion with anesthesia. The patient was then placed in the dorsal lithotomy position. She was prepped and draped in the usual manner. The bladder was drained to clear urine. An examination under anesthesia was performed with findings as noted above. A weighted vaginal speculum was then placed posteriorly, uriting retractor anteriorly. The surface was grasped on an anterior and posterior lips with single two cerebral tenaculums. It was then brought down and easily came to approximately the introitus. The cervix was then circumferentially injected using a Petrescent solution. There were 20 units of Petrescent and 100 cc's of saline. Approximately 15 cc's of this solution were used. The posterior cul-de-sac was then identified, and placing the posterior mucosa on traction, Mayo scissors were used to incise into the posterior cul-de-sac. Haney hysterectomy clamps were then used to transect the uterus, to cross-clamp the uterosacral ligaments bilaterally. These were transected and suture ligated using ovicryl. A second bite was then taken on each side with a Haney hysterectomy clamp, transecting with Mayo scissors and suture ligating using ovicryl. These four sutures were tagged and held. At this point, there was noted to be a considerable amount of oozing from the posterior vaginal cuff. A ochromic suture was then used to whip stitch the posterior cuff. This resulted in significant decrease in the amount of bleeding. Attention was then turned anterior where the vaginal mucosa was incised, connecting the posterior incision. A sponge stick as well as sharp dissection with scissors was then used to dissect the bladder off the anterior surface of the uterus. However, there was known to be a significant amount of scarring secondary to previous C-section. An additional two bites were then taken on each side with a Haney hysterectomy clamp prior to entry into the anterior peritoneum. It was felt that the bladder was adequately dissected off the bladder, or the bladder was adequately dissected off the uterus to perform these bites. Each bite was transected using Mayo scissors and suture ligated using ochromic. At this point, there was noted to be persistent increased scarring along the bladder flap. Peritoneum was not identified. A uterine sound was then placed in through the urethra into the bladder, and the margin of the bladder was identified. Using sharp dissection, the peritoneum was then entered. A right angle retractor was then placed in through this incision in the peritoneum and retracting the bladder out of the operative field. Serial bites were then taken using Haney clamps along the broad ligament, incorporating both the anterior and posterior peritoneum into each bite. There was noted to be a significant amount of oozing from the transected portion of the uterus, despite having achieved the level of the uterine arteries on both sides. the fundus of the uterus was then reached, the utero-ovarian ligaments and vessels were then cross-clamped and transected with removal of the cervix and uterus. Each utero-ovarian pedicle was then free-tied with ovicle followed by a suture ligature of ovicle. Upon visualizing the pedicles, they were noted to be hemostatic. The tubes and ovaries were visualized at this point and were felt to be normal in appearance. Secondary to the patient's age, it was selected to remove the ovaries, to leave the ovaries in situ. At this point, the pedicles were visualized and there was noted to be no significant bleeding. However, there continued to be persistent oozing along the posterior vaginal cuff, though there were no discrete bleeding sites noted. At this point, the estimated blood loss was approximately 700 cc's with the persistent oozing, and it was elected secondary to the patient's initial low hematocrit to defer the anterior colporophy, secondary to the risk of significant blood loss with the anterior colporophy necessitating transfusion. The anterior peritoneum was then identified. The peritoneum was then closed in a purse-string suture of 2-0 chromic with care taken to avoid entrapment of bowel or omentum. The posterior cul-de-sac was reefed as high up as possible to obliterate the cul-de-sac. This suture was then tied down into place. Again, the pedicles were visualized and noted to be hemostatic with no significant bleeding. The previously tagged and held sutures on the cardinal and uterosacral ligaments were separated. A free Mayo needle was then used to bring one strand of each out anteriorly through the vaginal mucosa and one posteriorly through the vaginal mucosa. These were then tied. This resulted in closure of the vaginal cuff transversely as well as cessation of any significant bleeding. A vaginal pack was then placed, which had been coated in dinestrol cream. A Foley catheter was placed with clear urine noted to be draining with approximately 100 cc's noted. The patient was then awakened and taken to the recovery room in stable condition with no apparent complications. This incitation on the patient